Employee satisfaction with federal training opportunities fell to an all-time low last year, according to the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey. But that is not the only part of the job that is disappointing your colleagues. Katie Maddox is Government Affairs Representative for the Federal Managers Association. Katie, thanks for being on the program this afternoon. You've got an issue brief out, and we'll link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, which has a whole lot of things that you would like to see happen to improve working conditions for leaders in the federal government. Do you think that the Bipartisan Budget Act is a good place for Congress to start to kind of fix its relationship with managers in the federal government?
It's an okay start. FMA did release a press release a while ago saying the 1% raise is somewhere to go from, but it's not enough. Federal workers endured a 3-year pay freeze, crushing morale problems, and we need to work from there. We need to get the word out on all the hard work that federal employees do on a daily basis for their community, for their fellow American at home and abroad. So it's an okay stepping point, but FMA is going to do everything they can to grow from that.
What are some of the priorities that you'd like to see the appropriations committees work on as they go through these bills and try to put something together for this summer?
I know that FMA has long supported the need for managerial training, and we're really pleased to see the president's FY15 budget plan call for a greater emphasis. And FMA has always seen the issue as efficiency and a cost savings issue, and we just want to make sure leaders know how to lead and managers know how to manage.
The training issue is it's starting to resonate a little bit in Congress, it seems. It sounds like from some of the hearings that I've seen recently, like some of the members are starting to understand, hey, if we don't train the workforce, they don't grow and can't serve citizens the way that we're expecting them to, which is with fewer resources and fewer people around them. Is that what you're seeing on the Hill too, Katie?
Yeah, we're seeing that more and more people would like to see more of an investment put into the federal workforce, not just, well, what can we do in the short term? It's more, no, how do we create a sustainable federal workforce that grows and continues to do so, not just over the next, you know, 1 or 2 years, but, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the line.
The word investment in and of itself is a little bit of a victory, I would think, because for so long, training was regarded as a cost. And people weren't really looking at it that way, both on the Hill and inside the agencies, because the training and travel were the first things people would always say, well, that'll be cut first when budgets get tight.
Exactly. And so we've seen more as a problem that these short-term budget plans actually cost more in the long run. People have to respond to a short-term budget plan, whereas if you make these investments, you're going to see a greater return.
One of the things that struck me, I mentioned the Employee Viewpoint Survey when you first came on the program, Katie, and I saw a report not too long ago on federalnewsradio.com where among federal employees surveyed in that survey, veterans were some of the least satisfied people. What would you like to see? What is FMA advocating to try to spike up the morale of veterans a little bit?
Well, I know we're working on this idea that actually came out of one of our chapters based out of Cherry Point, North Carolina, the Marine Corps Air Station. And it's basically a disabled veteran federal leave bank. And that comes out of three facts. The federal government is the largest employer of veterans. First-year feds start out with a zero sick leave balance, and if first-year feds haven't used any of their sick leave, they have accrued 104 hours at the end of their first year. But our folks at Cherry Point were seeing that disabled veterans who were first-year feds were really struggling to keep VA medical appointments. The example that I was given was one of my managers, her employee, had used 30 hours of sick leave within the first 3 months of the new year. So if you do the math, that's 120 hours of sick leave over the first year. And so I know vets can be advanced sick leave. However, if you're going over that 104 hours, you're always going to be in the hole and constantly having to pay back that sick leave.
What difference will that make in when it comes to morale? Just the fact that, folks that are in government, veterans, won't have to worry so much about the amount of work that they miss in order to make their appointments?
I think you nailed it right on the head. It definitely gives some reassurance that you're not worrying about having to take time off. You're not having to constantly have an excuse, you know, a valid excuse like, you know, oh, man, I got to miss work again. You know, like what? It's how do you choose between going to your needed VA medical appointment versus I need to do my daily work?
Four letters, Katie, that I look forward to every year, and I know you and your colleagues at FMA do, and a lot of other people in government, and we are already starting to plan, even though it's, what, almost two months away, for Public Service Recognition Week.
Oh, yeah, we're really looking forward to PSRW, and this year it's going to kick off May 4th, that's a Sunday, with our 5K run walk locally here in D.C. at Anacostia Park. Proceeds will benefit the Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund. And I know they got hit real bad this year, providing emergency financial loans, you know, due to the sequester, furloughs, the shutdown. So we're really glad that we can help them out again.
What else will we expect to see for Public Service Recognition Week this year?
Service to America Medal finalists will be announced. And I always look forward to that. I like to see what people are doing, you know, across the federal government serving their fellow American. And then we're also going to have our town hall again this year.
Excellent. I look forward to the Sammys every year. The partnership is terrific about helping me line those people up and have some of them on my show, have some of them on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Emily Kopp. And the stories are really outstanding.
Oh, they really are. They're very inspiring. And all this information can be found on the website, which is publicservicerecognitionweek.org. And also I just wanted to give a shout that there's information there under the Celebration Toolkit for how to plan local events, you know, stuff going on outside the Beltway.
All right. It's great to talk to you, Katie. Thank you for coming on the program. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.